Well, I'm thankful this morning that we can cast our cares upon Jesus. And I'm thankful for the throne of mercy. I'd like to read the same scripture we read last Sunday starting out. This is kind of maybe part two. But in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the first verse, I want to read these scriptures again. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." You know, it says, "He that thirsteth," and I don't want to stay on these verses too awfully long. But when we have a thirst down in our spirit, our soul, the inner part of us that we don't see, the invitation has come to the waters. If we don't have no money, he said, we can come, ye buy and eat. And it's really talking about the Word of God, eating of spiritual things. Remember Jesus in one place, they told him to eat, and he said, "I have meat to eat that you don't know, you know not of." In other words, he was communing. The Father was talking to him. The Father was revealing himself to him, and that's the meat that Jesus was referring to. He wasn't talking about the literal food. And that's what this is talking about. You know, the literal food satisfies the natural man, but it takes spiritual food to satisfy the inward man, our spirit. And here's the invitation to come. So many times he says, "In your labor for that which satisfieth not." So many times we have our attention on earthly things and earthly responsibilities and earthly treasures, and we fail to recognize the spiritual, the inner need that I have in my spirit to be able to feed on spiritual food and have God speak to me and show me and teach me things that I need to know and understand. And then in verse 3, we'll continue reading. It says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." It says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." And then we have the verse, words in verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way," verse 7, "and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, another scripture tells us, it says, all we like sheep, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But we are like sheep, and sheep are very vulnerable. Sheep don't really have much of a defense. And sheep are easily strayed. They easily stray away. And he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone. We live life. We just go our way. I mean, from a child and from a youth, a teenager, we just get things in our mind and we start living life. We start going through life. And it's many times our own way. We're selfish by nature. Our natural makeup is to we tend to be selfish as being human. And he said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But my thought, my message this morning is seeking the Lord. How important it is for us to seek after God in our lives. And he wants that to be a characteristic of our life. Seek ye the Lord. That means that you're looking after. That means that you're searching. That means that we seek God by praying. We pray to him. We look to him. And then in verse 7 it says, let the wicked forsake his way. This is part of seeking God. This is part of seeking the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way. It's talking about the ways that are evil, the ways that are wrong, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The unrighteous thoughts. If we seek the Lord, then we need to forsake the evil, forsake the things that are wrong, because I'm seeking God. I'm trying to find him. There's another verse in the Old Testament. I didn't look it up, but it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I'm just regarding iniquity, and I'm following iniquity, and I'm just living, following evil and allowing evil to happen in my life, then when I pray, it's like the Lord will not hear me. But if we forsake, like this is saying, let the wicked forsake his way. If I turn away, and I know that happened in my life when God started talking to me, there were things that I was doing that I knew was wrong. I knew they were wrong. You didn't have to tell me. I knew they were wrong. And I turned from those things. And God began to reveal himself to me in a greater way, and he began to help me. That's part of seeking the Lord. That's part of looking to God and seeking him. There's another verse in the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel comes right before Daniel. Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. It says, Ezekiel 33:10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them. And that pine away means to kind of like perish or disintegrate or lose. We pine away in them, in our transgressions, our sins, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now we remember the prophet Jeremiah, the children of Israel were going away from God. They were doing things that were... Jerusalem was called the bloody city. There was so much they were killing the innocent and confiscating their properties and destroying. There was so much sin and wickedness, and God sent Jeremiah the prophet to tell them to turn. Turn from their transgressions. And he told them that he would bring the king of Babylon against them and conquer them and take them to a foreign land if they didn't turn. But they didn't listen to Jeremiah. They put him in a dungeon. They persecuted him. And lo and behold, the king of Babylon came, just like the Lord told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told them. And he took them captive because they were unwilling to turn. They were unwilling to seek God. They were unwilling to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I did wrong. You know, I feel like that's a very important lesson for us to learn in life, is being able to say those two words, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I did wrong. I spoke wrong. I did you wrong. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm going to make it right. And that's what he's saying here in these verses. Let's go ahead and read a little bit more in verse 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Now, what is this saying? The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. In other words, if we're living righteous and we've turned away from the things that are wrong, but then we turn again to unrighteousness and we turn again to the things that are evil in this world, it says, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. When a righteous person turns away from continuing in righteousness and he turns to evil and he allows evil to have a part in his heart and life, it will not deliver him. In other words, there's a consequence. And I think we all, any of us that have any age here this morning, recognize that life is full of consequences, that there's consequences that come from my actions, the things that I do in life. Whether I confess it or whether I don't, there's a price. My actions have a price. They cost me something in life. There's consequences to them. Good choices bring good consequences. Evil choices bring bad consequences. And that's the way life is. There's a price tag on different things, on good and on evil. But he goes on, he says, as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Now listen to what this is saying. When a person turns from their sin or their unrighteousness or the things that they were doing wrong, they turn from that and they realize, I don't want to do that no more. You know, someone Brother Steve was telling us last night, he's got a friend, and he's up in his 50s, and or maybe even 60 by now. Anyway, he's known him for quite a few years. He's kept in touch, but he was an alcoholic. He struggled with alcohol addiction. His wife is still an alcoholic. She drinks a lot, but he began to look over his life, and he began to look at everything. He looked at this trouble, he looked at that trouble, and he looked, and he came to the conclusion, he began to see a common denominator in all of that. And it was his alcohol. And he turned from it. He realized it was causing his marriage trouble. It was causing his relationship trouble. It was causing him trouble on his job. And so he turned from it. You know, the Lord sees that. When we turn from the things that I have done wrong, that I've seen, that, boy, that didn't work out so good. Why would we go down life continuing to do the same things over and over that are destroying us and that are damaging us? When the Lord has offered help for us to help us to be able to change, the Lord has given us hope that if we turn, and that's what these scriptures are saying. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. You know, the Lord doesn't remember all that. The day we turn from our sins and we start living for God, we're not going to... Earlier he said pine. He said when you pine away in your transgressions, and here he said... He said, he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. So I'm thankful today that we can... That is part of our seeking after God and wanting to know Him, is when we turn from our ways and we seek Him and we ask Him for help. You know, I know the things that... And sin kind of involve a bondage. There's a bondage sometimes that's that comes along with the different vices and different things. There's a bondage that can be there that wants to hold us. But when we turn to God with all of our hearts and we say, I want to be free. I want you to deliver me. I realize I've strayed. I realized that I followed my own way. I followed my own path. I realize I've been wrong. I want you to help me to turn. You know, the Lord hears that prayer. The Lord honors that prayer. And He said here, in the day that He turned. You know, the Lord remembers the day that we turn. He remembers, He sees the times that we cry out for His help and for His strength. Because we can't do it within ourselves. But I believe as we turn, the Lord hears us and He comes in to help us. But turning is part of our responsibility of seeking God, because we want to know God. We want to hear Him. And it doesn't matter how long we've been living for God and serving Him, we still need to know Him in a greater way. We still need... There are things that I want to understand better about the Lord and about the ways of the Lord. There are things that I don't fully comprehend that I would like to know better. And it comes through seeking God, seeking after Him, praying, and turning from the things that we know that are wrong. I wanted to hit just one more verse. Let's drop down to verse Let's go ahead and read verse 13. I want to read some more. Verse 13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You know, if we turn, the Lord hears us, and I believe the Lord can work and come into our lives and give us strength. He can help us. He can bless us. I know He can change the desires of our heart. I remember I used to not care to go to church. I used to not really, you know, when I was younger, many times it just seemed like it was pretty boring to me. But the Lord changed my desires. And now I love the Word of God. That wasn't from me. That was the Lord working in me to help me. We love the things of the Lord. That's the desires. He can take away the bad desires for evil things, and He can put good desires in there for good things. That's a miracle to me. That's wonderful. How a person, you see him and all of a sudden they're different, they're changed, they're not living the same way they used to live. And you can see it. You notice it. The desires of their heart are changed. They're different. I wanted to get another scripture in this 16th verse. It says, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed. And that's making our wrongs right. And this is part of seeking God. All of this is part of seeking God. We want to make our wrongs right. There's a scripture that says in New Testament, said, let him that stole steal no more. But let him work with his hands that he may give. You know, it's a transformation, it's a change. And it's such a blessing. But I want to go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, and verse 1. Let's start reading. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. What was the publicans in Jesus' day? Were they very liked? They weren't very liked people. They were tax collectors. It said he was a publican and he was rich. In verse 3 it said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. So he heard about Jesus. He had heard different things about him, and it said he sought to see him. In a sense, that's seeking him, isn't it? I don't know if he fully understood what was all going to transpire that day. But the wonderful thing about this, as we seek the Lord, He is seeking us as well. And I want to say, He seeks us far more than what we've ever sought Him. I'll tell you that for sure. We got a picture in the back. I love that picture. It's got Jesus back there, and there's the door. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And he said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. That means he was not very tall. He was a short person. But that didn't stop him. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto Zacchaeus, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus," you know, Jesus, we heard that this morning in Sunday school. Jesus knows our name. He knew Zacchaeus. He knew this man had made a special effort. He was short of stature. There was a great practice. But he knew this man made a special effort to see him. You know, Jesus sees that. Jesus sees when we make special efforts to seek him. And he called his name, "Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste. Probably slid down the tree. Probably got a little bark burn. It said he made haste. He hurried down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, this is the people, when the people saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That's Zacchaeus. Probably got his wealth through overtaxation, taxing more than he should have. But he said, "I will restore." He was making his wrongs right. And that's what we want to do. To the best of our ability, to the best of our knowledge, we want to make our wrongs right when we're seeking after God. And it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord is seeking that which was lost. And there's different verses where Jesus brought this out. He said he left the 99 to go search for the one that had gone astray. He brought out the example of the woman in the house. He said the kingdom of God, let me get that, Matthew 13. And 44. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." So, In these scriptures here, there's people that are looking for something. They're not satisfied with life as it is. And they begin to seek and they begin to search. And that's what we started out in Isaiah 55. He said, "Ho, everyone that's thirsty, everyone that's hungry, come." In verse 45, it goes on, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." You know, that's what happens when we find salvation, when we find God. Everything else becomes secondary in our life. It becomes, the Lord is our greatest treasure. He's our salvation. He's our help. He's our comfort. He's our strength. He becomes everything to us. And Zacchaeus, you know, he just said, "Lord, I'm making it right." And he said, Jesus said, "Today has salvation come to this house." There's another scripture I wanted to get to where Jesus said, when you come and you offer your gift to God and you know that your brother has aught against you, he said, "Go be reconciled unto thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." You know, sometimes we've said things that have hurt people. Sometimes we've done things that have hurt people. To the best of our ability, we want to make things right. We want to apologize when we realize that we've done wrong or we hurt somebody, because that hinders us. When that's there, Jesus said, "Go be reconciled to them and then come and offer your sacrifice to me." When we're seeking God, that is part of what seeking God is. We examine our heart. We examine our life. Lord, is there... I want the Lord to answer my prayer. I want the Lord to hear my prayer. And we search. We search. One scripture says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me." We need God to search us and to reveal. And we search. We look. Lord, is there something... You know, there was years ago, I went to see a person that was he was on his way out of this world, and I showed up and he was in the car. They were just getting ready to go to the cemetery to pick out his plot. He was facing death. You know, when we face death, sometimes the things in life that we've covered over and we ignored, all of a sudden they come face to face. We have to face those things. And he said, "The Lord has sent you by." He said, "I think you're the last one that I need to ask forgiveness." And I say that to say this, that God gives us opportunity. I believe He gives us opportunity to make our wrongs right. You know, one place it said, "Agree with your adversary while you're in the way with him." It's better to take care of a situation as soon as you can, as soon as possible. Because if we don't, it's like the devil compounds the problem. He blows it up and makes havoc. But if we neglect it, I still believe many times the Lord gives us opportunity. He'll bring it back to our mind. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll bring it back to our mind and back to our attention. But that's how we find the Lord. We have to look at these things when we are seeking out after God. Because the Lord hears and He sees our heart. He knows when our prayers are sincere, and He knows when they're not. And I thank the Lord how, you know, they sang the song tonight or this morning about the throne of mercy. The thief on the cross, he didn't have much time, didn't have much hope. But he sought the Lord. He reached out to Him. And he acknowledged. You know, sometimes I feel like I have, you know, wanting people to be saved, it's almost like there's this formula. You know, you kind of take all these steps. And sometimes when those steps are not seen exactly like in a certain way, it's almost like it's discouraging. But I want us to note that the thief on the cross, number one, he acknowledged. He told the other thief, he said, "We're dying. We're deserving what we get." That was an acknowledgement. That was a confession that he knew he was wrong. That was repentance for him. He didn't say, "I repent." He didn't use that vocabulary. But his heart was reaching out to God, and he said, "I know." We're being punished for the wrong that we have done. And then he said, "Lord, remember me." When you come into your kingdom, wasn't a whole lot of words, wasn't a very long discourse, but the work was done. He lived his whole life. I don't know his background. I don't know how old of a man he was. But at that point, he had lived his life. And he was paying for the consequences that we mentioned earlier. That was what he was partaking of, was the consequences of his past. And Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." He had no natural life to offer the Lord anymore. But the Lord saw him turn. And that thief sought the Lord, and God saw his heart. What a great and wonderful, merciful. The scripture we read in Ezekiel said, when the wicked all may spend 89 years living for evil, doing wrong, hurting people, damaging people. And then at the very last, come down and say, I was wrong, and turn. And Ezekiel said, he'll not, and he said, Son of man, tell him. He will not be remembered. All of his wickedness will not be remembered because he turned. How great the love of God. How great the mercy of God. It is surely like the boundless ocean. Pray for me. Appreciate your attention.